As promised, we are going to talk about the Retro Conference 2, the Integraton, and nobody knows more about it than Reverend Bob Short. We call him Reverend Bob, but he's really Robert Short. And,
that's right, Jerry.
How are you?
I'm just Danny Peachy, sir.
Now, we have on our website the story about the first time you went out there in the desert.
Retro
and all
UFO
of that, but
convention.
You and I were out there last year,
and you were so kind, Jerry, to introduce me. I was very that was very, very nice of you. I appreciate it.
Well, Barbara Harris is going to do it again, and I thought it'd be a good chance for you to come on the air and tell us what is planned this year, and give us the dates, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of your experiences.
Okay. Anyway, it'll be April 21st and 22nd this year. Out at the Integratron, which is about 3 miles from the very famous Giant Rock where most of the UFO business got started back in the 50s, okay? And anyway, Barbara and Robert Harris are the hosts of that convention there at the Integratron this year, as it was last year. This is the second annual. It's going to be much more simplified. And the boys from San Bernardino County, by the way, are going to cooperate this time, she tells me.
Yeah, she had all kinds of little problems last year, but
yes,
we still had
right,
a
because
good
what
time.
They thought, see, they showed up after we put up all our booths and everything else. They showed up and they thought everybody was going to cram into the Integratron building, and they couldn't allow that under their rulings. And when they got out there, they were absolutely chagrined to find out that they were totally wrong. And they started apologizing, said, "Oh, we're terrible. Oh, we're so sorry. We didn't. We thought you were going to put all the people in the Integratron. Oh, we didn't know that you were going to have booths and all this. Oh, my." And they were really upset. And so, anyway, they told her this year they would cooperate. But she's only going to have, she's going to be make allowance for only 200 people again this year, even though it's going to be 2 days. Now, I will be speaking most of Saturday afternoon because when we were there last year, as you recall, even after I was into the end of my two-hour talk, the people said, "Oh, no, let him go on. Let him continue. We want to hear this." And they said, "Well, we can't do that because we have another speaker coming on, and we have to allow it." So anyway, she realized that people wanted really to hear this information, and she wanted to give us enough time. Well, I will be speaking on Saturday, April 21st, which will be having to do with what happened at Giant Rock and the experiences there and how many people turned out for it. As a matter of fact, I will say, at Giant Rock, we used to have 10 to 12,000 people used to turn out for these conventions from 1954 on through the 60s, okay, which was totally, totally incredible to have that many people out there in a desert area camping and whatever. It so happens that our good friend, Matthew Boone, who's the son of Daniel Boone, was one of the early pioneers at Giant Rock, just like myself. Matthew was there with his wife and a friend, standing on the grounds of the Integratron, and at about, I think it was close to 8 o'clock or so, after we had already left to our motel and sleep. And anyway, the craft showed up overhead. Matthew saw, and his wife and his friend saw this, and they were pointing it up, and they were yelling, "Look, everybody, look, look up, look up, look up there, look, there they are." And they couldn't hear him because they had a rock band that was playing so loud that people halfway to Giant Rock could actually hear the music. So anyway, we got photographs, though. There was a lady there by the name of Nancy. I won't give you the last name, but just the first name.
Nancy McKinney.
Yeah, okay, well, you said it. Anyway.
Now I'm in trouble.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Yeah.
Anyway. And she took some wonderful photographs. It has several of the objects with a red field around them and one great big white object, and then a picture of Adam Barbara with all of these orbs all over the photographs out in front of them. Just incredible. And anyway, but we didn't know this. You see, we were already gone. Well, when we got back to our home in Arizona, in Cornville, Arizona, we were told by our sources in communications, extraterrestrial communications, I am a space channel.
Yeah, and we talked about that, yeah. And we've gone into great detail about
that. They described what they were doing there. They formed a triangle with various nodal points, such as Ritchie Road and Border Road, Giant Rock at one nodal point, and Old Woman Springs Road, and Ritchie Road is another nodal point. And then they put one of their craft right in the middle of this triangle, representing the Integratron. They told us how they did this, and then they formed a line of ships, about six of them, that actually were seen by Matthew Boone. So we were talking to him, Matthew, on the phone, and we started describing this, what they were telling us. And Matthew said, yeah, Bob, yeah, that's exactly what they did. He said, that's absolutely right on. He said, your information is absolutely right on. He said, that's what. I said, really? He said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my goodness sake, oh, my goodness. You know, well, anyway, we have the photographs with us today during this UFO convention, this UFO Congress convention here in Laughlin, Nevada. But anyway, we're going to have a wonderful time. And Frank Stranges, by the way.
Now, you'll be there on Sunday, right?
Yes, I will. Frank Stranges.
You're there on Saturday.
I'm on there Saturday. But Dr. Frank Stranges, okay. He's also one of the old-timers from Giant Rock, will be there to talk most of Sunday. And there's going to be an Integratron tour and a sound bath. There's going to be the Voices of the Past by the Morongo Basin Historical Society, who are they're very good friends of mine.
And they're very interesting people, and there's a whole lot of history that goes in
absolutely.
Around
yep.
that they cover.
That's right. And, of course, the Carl sisters, Nancy and Joan, they're going to be there. And we're going to have Tesla demonstrations and art displays and other people that have had experiences with UFOs. And,
now I think so Barbara told me she's going to start later than she did last time.
Also, I'm going to be doing the Native American ceremony because I'm also partly Cherokee.
And we have a recording
of inducted,
that.
And I was inducted into the Lakota Sioux Nation in 2004 by my adopted grandfather, Chief Black Spotted Horse of the Eagle Clan of the Lakota Sioux. He's Unkpapa. He's a relative of Sitting Bull. Anyway, he came and inducted me into the nation in 2004. So I'm going to be doing the ceremonies I did last year twice. So if you are really interested in this, I hope that you will attend this. We have flyers on this.
And we have a link on our website to it as well.
That's right. And the prices are given. I won't give them out over the air, but the prices are listed on the brochure. It has an email and a phone number that you can call for further information.
Right, and we have that information posted on the website, so
right,
they can
correct.
Do it as well.
Okay, but the space is limited. It's 199 people, and it's first come, first served. So if you want to
attend
this...
Is that each day? I guess it is.
I think so. Or it could be 199 people in total. I don't know.
I'm not sure
either. Barbara Harris's, that's her thing. That she knows about, and you'll have to get in touch with them about that.
You know, I went out to the Giant Rock. It's not easy to get there, but...
No, it's not. It's about 3 miles from the Integratron on a very loamy road, dirt road.
That's what I'm talking about. The road is...
And if it isn't, let us say, scraped...
Maybe they fixed it a little this year.
You better have a four-wheel, I think. It might be a good idea. Trying to get out there with an ordinary automobile, if you're not careful, you might get stuck. But anyway, you'd have to get out and go trying to find somebody to pull you out.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Giant Rock and the Integratron themselves. They're intertwined, I take it.
Well, Van Tassel, George Van Tassel was a very famous individual. He was claimed to be an aeronautical engineer. He worked with Howard Hughes and he worked for Lockheed and so forth over periods of time. But anyway, he wanted to... Because of health reasons and one thing or another, he wanted to get out away from the too much of civilization. He wanted to get out where the air was pure and so forth. So he made friends looking out in the desert. He made friends with a gentleman that lived out there at the time. I wish I could remember it. I remember his first name, Frank, but I can't think of the last name of this gentleman. He was German, and he was a metaphysician. He just was kind of a loner, and he lived underneath this rock. He had bored out underneath this rock and had cemented it in and so forth, made a nice little home there and so forth. But you see what happened as a result of being out there all by himself, and he was German. It was during World War II.
They killed him, right?
Yes. Well, actually what happened, they didn't kill him, but what happened was that evidently somebody tried to claim that he was a German, possibly a German saboteur, that he was setting up a secret base out there for parachutists to come in and for one thing and another. And so the deputy sheriffs were called out, and they came out and they said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take you in, sir, and interrogate you and so forth. We can't have you, because we've had reports that you may be building up something. And he was just totally, couldn't believe that they were doing this to him. But anyway... He said, would you allow me to have a change of clothes? Let me go down and change my clothes. They said, well, okay. And they didn't follow him. They didn't try to guard him or follow him. He went down and he killed himself underneath the rock, blew himself to bits.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And anyway, Van Tassel, before that, had already made friends with him. And so evidently, this then was open, a 33-acre area there, the Giant Rock, was open for lease. So Van Tassel found out about it, and he leased it from the Bureau of Land Management. And then he opened up an airport called Giant Rock Airport with the, the CAA, I think it was called Civilian Aviation Authority, okay, which then became the Federal Aviation Authority, okay. But anyway, in 1953, Van Tassel had an experience where he had a UFO came down and landed about 3 o'clock in the morning and woke him up and wanted him to go with them into their ship and so forth. They had something to impart to him. And he tried to wake his family. Couldn't wake them up. He tried. He couldn't wake anybody up. And they said, no, we just want to talk to you. There's a gentleman who's this alien individual. His name was Salganda. And so anyway, they did take him on board the ship, and they debriefed him on something having to do with what was going to be later the Integratron, that they were going to give him also designs of how to put it together and so forth. It was the first device of this type anywhere on the face of the Earth, okay, including how to build the building itself with hardly any metal in it. It was just an incredible, phenomenal thing. And so then they began visiting the rock from time to time. They also began flyovers over the rock. Now, in 1954, Van Tassel finally decided that he was going to hold his first UFO or spacecraft convention out there at Giant Rock in 1954. And he invited speakers that had UFO experiences to come and participate in that or be speakers on his program. So this gentleman by the name of Daniel W. Fry, who was an electrical engineer, he'd had an experience at White Sands area in New Mexico, where he came upon a craft and it looked all by itself at night, he walked up to it and began to rub the surface up, and all of a sudden he heard a voice say, now this is Daniel W. Fry I'm talking about now, he heard a voice say, "Get away, bud, it's still hot." So forth. In other words, he was rubbing the field of the object because he noticed it was kind of a bluish-violet color, and he jumped back and so forth, and later on he had to go up to Merlin, Oregon, because his liver began to swell up, and he almost lost his life, but anyway, as a result of radiation, I guess. But anyway, so he became the first speaker in 1954 for the Giant Rock Convention, and then this was followed by a series of other speakers over periods of years, such as Orfeo Angelusi, Wayne Aho, Bruce Cathy, who did ley lines. He was a former airline pilot. Guy Kirkwood or Mel Noel.
All the names in early ufology.
Yeah, and George Hunt Williamson, Richard Miller, John W.R. Neville, W.R. Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, right,
man.
Right.
Mark Probert, who was a medium, he had this entity he called Yata Tashiti. He'd talk like this. He'd say, "Greetings, I am Yata Tashiti," and so forth. He'd talk, and that's the way he would talk. But anyway, he had the gentleman down in Florida. All these names, trying to remember him. Howard. I wish I could remember his last name. But anyway, I'm sorry if you're hearing this, Howard. I'm sorry. But anyway, so he had all of these various speakers over a series of years. They would come and speak as to their own UFO experiences, which were absolutely phenomenal, incredible. And then we began to have also flyovers of UFOs. In fact, in 1967, while I was sitting talking to a crowd of about seven people, about seven deep around me, describing how we get our communications, this lone UFO from the north edge of the field began to move slowly about 300 feet up over the edge of the field. All we could see was the bottom of the craft with a cross hatch with kind of a fuchsia color coming from like a fluorescent color underneath it with a ring of white light with light shining down silently, no sound. And we could hear people singing in the restaurant and a dog barking, but we could hear people saying, "That's no airplane! That's no airplane!" And so anyway, it moved clear down to the edge of the airfield toward Goat Mountain. It stopped and hovered. I got my flashlight out and began flashing Morse code, AA, AA, who are you, who are you? My wife Shirley said, Robert, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to find what, give them the identification, who are they? And she said, you know better than that. You can speak to, you can talk to them, ask them to do something. I said, okay. So I set it out open. I said, would you please move off to the right a certain ways or a certain distance? I no sooner got the words out of my mouth than they did exactly that. They moved off just this short of a mile, then moved back where they had originally been by Goat Mountain, and then hovered there for a period of time, and then moved off toward Joshua Tree. And everybody was just absolutely flabbergasted. Nobody took any pictures, okay?
That was back in 1957?
This was back in, yeah, it was. No, 1967.
67,
October
okay.
of 1967. That was followed where we lived at Joshua Tree at that time. We had a neighbor friend of ours that told Shirley to get her camera out and go outside behind the house. There was going to be a flying saucer behind our house in about 5 minutes. In the meantime, he walked over and joined her, and sure enough, this object began to form on the northeast side of this big hill of granite. We've got photographs of this, and it moved back behind the hill, came out on the southeast side with the ionization around it in the perfect form of a saucer. We've got that in a color photograph. Incredible. So we've had these experiences over many, many years, but Giant Rock was absolutely incredible. We even had Criswell out there one time, and I was channeling. I had this heavy, kind of a heavy coat on, and all these people, it was cold, very cold, and all these people were standing by waiting for me to start this channeling in kind of an alcove there at Giant Rock. Well, anyway, they said, my wife said, well, now, Bob, Robert, are you ready to start? I said, well, yeah. She said, well, you better take your jacket off, say. So I did, okay, and all these people were shivering and cold, so forth. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel anything. In this altered state, I went out. I didn't feel a single thing.
You weren't cold at all.
I wasn't cold at all, okay? I was very warm, as a matter of fact. You know, I was almost sweating. And these people said, you're what? You're sweating? I said, yeah. And that's, they use a beam device to communicate. I said, yeah, that's what happens, you know. And they were totally floored. They couldn't believe it. But they heard the voice, and they said this, and the voice just rang because of the walks and everything. It was yeah. like an amphitheater almost, you know. It was really absolutely phenomenal. These things happened over many, many years. It was just totally, and I worked with George Hunt Williamson for many years. We even did archaeological explorations and UFO stuff down in South America and Peru. We went looking for El Gran Paititi, the lost land of the Jaguar Kings. We found some of the hieroglyphs back in a jungle area, which was it just blew us away. Williamson took pictures of it. I don't know whatever happened to him because he passed away in Prescott, Arizona a number of years ago. Heart problems. I didn't know he had this. But anyway, we had UFO experiences with him and Dick Miller and all these people. It was just totally, totally incredible. But anyway, we're going to have this wonderful Retro UFO Returns Convention, the second annual, at the Integratron near Giant Rock, 3 miles from Giant Rock. We're going to have tours out to the rock, which I might be a part of also. So be sure and join us. You'll enjoy yourself. You'll love it.
And right, we have a connection on the website. Now, hold on, Robert.
Okay,
sure.
Right.
We'll be right back. Okay. Got to take a break. I want to talk to you about what's happening here at the UFO Congress. I've had some pretty strange stories. I want to see strange stories follow you. So there's probably you can
That's
vindicate
right.
them or That's validate
right.
them.
That's right.
Or something. We'll be back. I'm Jerry Pippen. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippen.com.
Looks like it's about 8 or 10 miles
west. This is Jerry Pippen with UFO Congress, and we have Robert Short with us. And I had more than one person come up to me and said, "Hey, have you seen this or that happening?" In fact, a fellow yesterday was on the show talking about that he felt he had been abducted here at the conference.
Is that right?
And he had blood on his fellow open the nose, and he could remember the whole thing.
That's incredible. I would believe it. Yeah, it happens.
I mean,
so
things like
happen.
This happen around
yeah,
here.
Sure
you've
do.
Been coming here a lot.
I have. That's right. I in fact,
have I missed something this
Jerry,
year?
Jerry, I have been with these Congress conventions since 1991 at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay? I have come to every single one with my wife, Shirley. We've been to every single one since it started. And if it hadn't been for the wonderful gentleman, Wendell Stevens, who lent his superior intelligence and his some of his funding, possibly we wouldn't even have had the first one. So bless his heart, he did invest in it and saw the wisdom of it, and it went off. And it was just it was phenomenal. We had a gentleman by the name of Carl Van Blierden, who was the transcriber for the group in South Africa. His name is Edwin. He does the same thing I do, Jerry. He channels, okay?
Okay.
He was told the same thing that we were told years ago in Winslow, Arizona, when we were in on ham radio communications before we were shut down by the FCC for operating illegally with an unknown source, because they didn't... People in the UFOs, they don't give call letters, are you kidding?
Yeah, they didn't apply for a license.
That's right.
They didn't pay their
right.
fee.
That's right. And so we were told what we needed to do and everything. They didn't file against us, thank God. I was scared out of my ever-loving, I can tell you. But anyway, from that, things developed on down the line in the 50s. But going back to the UFO Congress here... I wish, in fact, I'll tell you something. I dearly wish that Rick Williamson was still alive, because, boy, he would really add something to this. And in fact, all those individuals who were early on these people would just be totally, totally enraptured. I mean, they really had real experiences.
I remember a couple, 3 years ago, right here, when this was the Flamingo instead of the Aquarius, Somebody took a picture of what looked like a craft hovering out here over the river.
That's right. We've got that. That's right. So, and we've got more than that, too. We've got several pictures. We've got a picture of an actual transport sled that Bob Renaud had an illustration of in one of Gabriel Green's magazines. It absolutely matches. Okay. And I said, is that incredible? Oh, my goodness. And we have pictures of UFOs hovering, over the rock, over the river and so forth, in color, okay. And
Have you ever tried to channel while you're here?
Well, I've done readings for people in my room and so forth, but not channel here. I would imagine it would probably be a little fascinating, but no, I haven't.
I wasn't going to ask you to do it right over the air, but I mean, curious.
It's totally different from the voice you're hearing right now.
Oh,
it's
different. I know. I've been
it's very powerful. Okay.
Yeah. And the name of that entity is.
I'll say.
Oh, you never wanted to tell me that.
That's right. I don't want to give the name out.
I've tried this
Wendell
three times.
Wendell did over the microphone. So he did. And I told him who I was in touch with. But anyway, I don't want to give it over the net, because, you get people. There's people, yes, that are really for real, but then there's a lot of the other ones that, they send you stuff in the mail or whatever, and it's just...
Okay, we'll respect that.
Yeah. But anyway, we have these pictures here. So it does happen. We even have a picture of an orb right here in the lobby, right here where we're speaking, right there. Remember when they had the dummy UFO alien with its so-called spaceship?
Sure, I have a picture of that on my website.
We have a picture of an orb right up over the top of it.
Oh, really?
That you can see through. You can look through it and see it. And it's a round orb, but you can also, it's transparent. You can actually look through it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have that in our photo book too.
Well, that was here about 4 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah, right here at here at the Flamingo. Is now the Aquarius Resort.
Right.
Was originally the Flamingo, they've been wonderful to us. I must congratulate and commend the people that both at the Flamingo, the original Flamingo, and those that now have the Aquarius, for keeping us here and. Allowing us to have these conventions. I really, really want to say a great thank you to them.
Okay, well, now we are going to plug your appearance one more time, then we'll let you go, Robert. It'll be
at the Integratron out near Giant Rock, near the town of Landers, out of Yucca Valley, California, about 15 miles or so, out in the desert. And It's a marvelous building. It's really a phenomenal building by itself. We even have a picture of light coming away from it that's a actual psychic phenomena. And I will be speaking most of Saturday, the April 21st. Frank Strange is on April 22nd.
Now, when you're in there, in the Integraton itself, what happens exactly?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be speaking inside.
I know you won't be, but I'm just wondering if somebody ever goes in there.
They do. Many people go, and they have what they call a sound bath.
What is that about?
Well, actually, they're immersed in a sound field, a frequency sound field, and I obviously they're going to feel something, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, like frequencies or something. It's not going to be. It's not going to be harmful.
I figured you'd probably been in there and tried that.
Well, more or less, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But it is a phenomenal building because you can stand in one point on the second floor where there's a hole. Okay, that's through the floor, and you can speak in. I believe it's in a whisper, or whatever it is, and you can be heard at the wall, the inside wall of that building, even though in a whisper you shouldn't be heard. But you can actually hear it. It magnifies somewhere or another. It's very strange. So there's
Robert.
It has phenomena. It has phenomena.
Okay, we'll look forward to seeing you out in the California desert in April.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so very much. And thank everybody for listening and tuning in to Jerry Pippin's
UFO Files.
That's right.
Thank you very much. And this has been an interesting show from the UFO Congress for sure. Roberta Scott's been our on-location producer, and our tape editor was Jane Swartley. Until next time, cheers.
The doors are finally open at ShopJerryPippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features three different Jerry Pippin UFO Files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at ShopJerryPippin.com.